some who thought Sidney Meier was too wonderful to be true. Sidney Meyer's wonderful. Bobby Horowitz was getting so excited, I thought she was going to throw an undergarment up on the stage. So, my talk today is called God Keeps His Word, So I Too Will Keep My Word. And this has to do with Matthew 20:1-16, and it is the parable where all the men go to work that day, and you know they come to the farmer's house at the beginning, and they said, we need work, and he says, terrific, if you'll work the day, I'll give you, let's say $10, let's make it easy, rather than their money. And then some other people come along at noon, and they say, we need work, he says, terrific, if you'll work till 5 o'clock, I'll give you each $10, wonderful. Some other people come along at 4 in the afternoon, and they say, we need work. He says, terrific. We got about an hour till we close. I'll give you each $10. So at the end of the day, farmer's paying out the wages. Well, the people that have been there since 9 o'clock are not happy. How come they get the same amount we do? And he said, well, I'm paying you what you all agreed to. You agreed to work till from 9 till 5 for $10. And these ones from noon. For $10, and these ones for an hour for $10. I'm just paying my agreement. But that's not fair. And the man says, it's my money. I'll do what I want with it. But I kept my word. How come you no longer want to keep your word? Your agreement. How come you're upset over your agreement? Well, because there's a misperception there that somebody else got our good. And clearly there's a perception there that people don't want to work. What they want is money. And then there's jealousy. There's just flat out jealousy. And a misunderstanding of how to be the farmer instead of the worker. Most people, I think, would like to be the farmer without acquiring the wisdom or the understanding. And I think a lot of people, let's face it, would like to be God without the wisdom or the understanding or the love. Really, we just want to be the boss. Really, wouldn't you just be the boss? Off with your head. We just want to tell people what to do. And we don't want to have to change our consciousness to include all these other people. Now, as Britt said, we walked on fire this week. That's what I do. And at least once a year. And we did. Last year we went. We went to Reverend Edwin Gaines. And I don't know how many of you are aware of how much influence Edwin Gaines has in your lives. It's not just when she comes here to visit. She works through Britt, she works through me, she used to work through Paul, she worked with a lot of ministers here. She's the teacher to the teachers. And I had avoided going to her ministers only retreat for several years. I don't know exactly why. Part of it was, it always happens the week after Easter. Its location is not convenient to anything, any place in the world, except Fort Payne. Valley Head is convenient to Fort Payne. But it's not convenient to the Atlanta airport, let me tell you. Nevertheless, last year I heard the hint and I went. And we got to her retreat center, and it's lovely, and her home is there. And you drive up a one-lane road to get up to it and everything. And I don't know about you, I get anxious with change, with the unfamiliar, with not knowing what could be at the top of this hill. You know Edwin's there, but what else? And it turns out it was just Edwin. Edwin's at the top of the hill. And this year, we went again. Last year, Lewis went with us. This year, it was just Britt and myself. And several friends of ours were there. And it was a lovely thing. But the whole event really is geared towards the walking on fire. And some of you may have done this. Some of you have done amazing physical things. You've jumped out of airplanes. You've bungee jumped, you've ziplined, you have whatever, you've done things that I have not done. nor have I gotten the hit to do any of these things. I don't envy any of you except your being able to say yes to them. And last year, when I went to Ed Wheat's, I knew she's going to end it with a firewalk. And I had no idea if I'd be able to do such a thing. And I went this year knowing it's going to end, and I did it twice last year. Lewis went like four times. Lewis was right up there in line. He went through four, I think. Britt did three last year. He did four times this year. But he, I don't know if I can do that. But Ed Wheat has this wonderful technique for this, and this is what we all need to be paying attention to today, because this is really the heart of the message of God keeping its word and me keeping my word. And she says, each time before you walk, you go within and ask, can I walk on fire and not be burned? Can I walk and wait for your yes? And listen for your no. It's important to pay attention to both things. And so last year I heard that loud and clear, and we're walking around the circle. The grass hurt worse than that, because you have to do this in your bare feet. And so we're walking in this circle on this hard grass, jabby grass, and chanting some song. She calls it the chant du jour because Edwin cannot remember a melody. So she makes up a new one every single time. It's the same words, but a new melody to go with this chant, which is fine. Isn't that the coolest thing? It's fine. It didn't hurt anybody. It doesn't matter. It's the same message, new melody. And she's doing these things like once a month now. All her retreats end in a firewalk, so she's giving a new melody to each person. And I couldn't begin to tell you what the melody is now that we sang. It didn't matter. So we go down at 5 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and we each carry a log to the fire tenders, and we put our prayers into this log and hand it to the tender. And many of us got to do two pieces. And they built this structure. It's on my Facebook page. You can see it if you want. And then they pour gasoline all over it or whatever flammable thing. And they light the fire. And we're all standing close enough to prove it is a real fire. It's very warm. If I had hair when I started. And it's a very hot fire. And then we go back up for the evening to discuss things, to watch a video of her teacher, her initial firewalking teacher. And then we get word from the bottom of the hill that the fire is ready. And we get down there, and we go down one by one silently. She's emphatic about that, because at this point we are in prayer. We are in connection. And we walk down there, and when you get to the end of the gravel, everybody has to take their shoes off. And that's where it starts to hurt. And we start, we're chanting the whole way, and we start walking the fire, and we have two pieces of onion skin that she has given us. One has a list of goals, things we want to see in our lives, and the other is a list of that which we'd like to let go of. And we all get up close to the fire to throw it in while they're raking the red hot coals. I mean, they are just as red, and I thought, I don't remember them being this red. Because I got my yes that morning at the morning session. I heard clearly you're going to walk on fire tonight, Sean. But I also knew that message could change by 9 o'clock tonight. And they're raking. And I thought, oh, that's red. That is so red. Can I do this? I don't know. Chanting. I'm walking around. My feet are so cold. The ground was freezing cold. And I was kind of looking forward to the heat of the coals, if you want the truth. And we're walking around, and Edwin steps up to see if she's going to be the first, because she likes to be the first. And like in the afternoon, I really thought, I might have to push her out the way to go first. But no. And so she's there, and she walks across those red hot coals. And at no time did I hear her go, ow, 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 ow. Nobody, you know. And then this other woman, who I never dreamt would be first after Ed Wheat, she walks across. There's none of that. And then somebody else, and then I saw Britt get in line and walk right across, and my friend Russell. And I thought, okay, it's time for me to go. So I got behind Reverend Russell, and he goes, and I take Ed Wheat's hand. She says, you're allowed to take my hand for a minute, but let go. Do not drag me across the coals. And I took her hand for a second, and I walked right across, and these two wonderful women, they greeted me at the end. They took my arms and helped me into a pan of water, because she thinks that's wise to have a pan of water in case there's any live embers that have buried themselves in your feet, to extinguish them. And I did my first walk. And then I go around and I see Britt back in line and Russell back in line. So what the heck, I'm going too. Now, Edwin does remind us it is not a competitive firewalk. And I wasn't competing with my friends, but I didn't want to miss out. And so I got right in line with them because, you see, my friends showed me first that it was completely safe for me to go. And there is the Bible saying in this parable is the first will be last and the last will be first. We were all even. It didn't matter which order we went in. The point is, we each got here and we asked, can I walk on fire and not be burnt? And we each of us got our yes. Britt got it 4 times, Russell went 3. I didn't feel the need to go more than 2. I'm very clear that I felt like I could just be a rotating, I could just go, revolving door, that's the word I'm looking for. I thought, oh, I can just keep walking, and I thought, Sean, at one of these points your ego is going to take over and you're going to fry your feet. It was very clear to me. And yet I felt, oh, it's no big deal. I think, like I said, it felt soft, very soft walking this. I didn't walk quite this slowly, but... but I didn't run either. I wanted a good clip. And all but 2 people walked. And it took just as much courage for those 2 to not walk as it did for the rest of us to walk. Imagine you're deciding not to while all your friends are doing it. And you know it's the right thing for you to do to not walk. And last year I thought maybe I was going to be that person. My first time I get up there, I just had to go. I heard my yes, and I thought, I'm going to have to be the only one tonight that doesn't walk. And that I didn't care for that. And then I looked at Edwin, and she said, you can do it. Okay, she says so, and I walked right across there. Didn't get hurt. Now, she's very clear on the other instruction. Do not look at your feet until tomorrow. Don't look for a problem. Because she had someone there at some retreat who went through it and was amazed and said, I just can't believe I didn't get burned. And she started looking, and there came the blisters. And that's what she learned. Tell everybody, do not look till tomorrow. And I didn't. But last year and this year, I didn't dare look until the next day. And I got to tell you, my feet are just as pink and pretty as they ever were. Like the rest of me. And I mean, my feet weren't even dirty the next day when I got in the shower and everything, just clean and everything. She told us about one woman, an older woman with a cane who really wanted to walk. And the woman said, do you think my cane will melt? And she said, well, let's find out. She had a lucite cane with a rubber tip. And as she started to go across, and this is back, Edwin said years ago, she started to go across, the person in front of her fell in the water. And the tinder over at the other end said, wait a second. It's like, what do you mean, wait a second? And they got that other person out. And the woman stood there. She said, Edwin said, for like 45 seconds to a minute. And when she was done, not even the tip of her cane was melted. You see, we have all the power to choose. We have all the power, consciously and unconsciously, to choose our experience. And these workers were choosing their experience. These workers in the parable all chose their experience of what it's like to work all day for the same $10 that the people who worked for an hour got. We choose. God keeps its word, and its word is that I am powerful. I want to read you something that Charles Fillmore said. I read this at Easter Sunday at my service up in Connecticut, and this is from a talk that Charles Fillmore gave on Easter Sunday in 1924. Charles Fillmore is Unity's co-founder, in case anybody here is not aware of that. But what he said was the realization that man is spiritual being is the highest point of consciousness. Man never realizes what he is until he knows within himself that he is spiritual. This is the resurrection, the conscious knowledge that I am a spiritual being and that all things, in essence, are spiritual. This realization brings man into absolute being. This is the effect of prayer, the creative prayer, the prayer that brings about the evolution, the consummation of all evolution, the union between God and man. And I know a lot of people like to run around saying, well, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. Well, let me decide if you're spiritual, okay? You know, don't you go telling me that you're spiritual. I'll be the judge of that. I get it. You don't necessarily want to believe in religion, organized religion. I understand all that. But your spirituality, your understanding of your true essence is something that gets mirrored back to you in different ways. It's not a decision we make. We do not decide to be spiritual or that we are spiritual. What we do is realize. And the most frustrating part of this realization is there's no way to describe it. You cannot effectively describe love. We cannot effectively describe God or ourselves or the world around us. Jesus was judged for not judging more. He was criticized. How could you hang out with those people? What's wrong with you? And from my understanding of the Jesus experience, his experience, whether it actually happened or not, we don't know for sure. But the myth perfectly every time. And you and I can be the awakened Christ man, woman, pick whatever you want. Doesn't matter. We're still all beings. And so, to choose that, I'm going to talk now as if Jesus absolutely had a plan, had a mission, had an experience, and told it to me just the other day. Jesus' goal was to get into the kingdom. The kingdom, meaning the awakened mind, the understanding mind, the clear understanding that he was one with love, with principle, with what we call God. And he called Father, or Abba. He wanted to do that. And here's the and that makes it hard for us. He knew he couldn't do it unless he was willing that everybody else could come into that kingdom, into that conscious realization of oneness with the source. That's a bear of a request, wouldn't you say? Man, and he wasn't asking it of us. He was asking it of himself. When he says, follow me, he said, come on, let me see you in a way that I can welcome you in and not want to keep you out. And then do this for yourself. Follow me. I found a way in. I found a way into the kingdom of heaven, and I don't have to die to do it. And you don't have to die to do it. See, he knew there was a way, way before the Good Friday experience, the crucifixion. He knew there was a way. It wasn't about the body. It was never supposed to be about the body. It was always supposed to be about the awakened consciousness. And so to wake up to who you really are instead of what you think. Your thinking is ridiculous. If you think that you and I are separate, or you and your neighbor is separate, your thinking is ridiculous. I'm well aware that I don't have to like you. Behaviors, at least, to welcome you, to come alongside me into this realization. it'll be easier for all of us if we do it together. And so, to begin for all of us, because isn't that why we come to church? Besides finding somebody to go to lunch with, we come to church, we come to these spiritual centers to get this message that we already know to be true. So that we can wake up right now to the realization of our oneness. I'll be honest, I struggle. I passed a neighbor yesterday, a neighbor I haven't liked for a lot of years. I felt that he did something to us. And I'm holding out for an apology. Actually, what I'm holding out for is a conversation. And I haven't found a way to have it yet without confronting. And so I'm putting off the kingdom until he approaches me and says, Sean, what's going on? But yesterday we passed each other on the street. And he waved, and I did not. Because that's the best I could think of to do. Because I didn't know if I would wave with all of my fingers. And so I opted to keep my hands on the steering wheel and just move forward. You got to understand, this resentment is a good 10 years old at least. Around 2006, I think we'll say. And still, I'm holding on to it as if it means something important. But I keep praying on it, and I've done more and more forgiveness work on it. I keep going within. God, show me how. Show me how. Show me how not to forgive, but how to experience forgiveness with this person that clearly represents so much. And Thursday, before the fire walk, I was doing my forgiveness work, and I'm talking to Ed Wayne. I think there's these two people. One, my neighbor, one is somebody else that I just holding out on, trying to make the past not have happened with. But God's word still is God's word to me. Its promise to me is love. That I am loved and they are loved. And cannot not be. So you see, at least I am assured that with my ridiculous thinking, the truth is still true. And so we can relax a little bit. We don't, because guilt surely isn't going to help us to get to forgiveness. Guilt is not redemption, in case anybody wasn't clear on that. Guilt will not get you into a clear consciousness of thinking, into the heaven thinking. And so, to keep that, okay, first will be last, last will be first. I wanted to be the first in there to forgive. Clearly I'm not. And I wanted to, I don't know if I'll be the last one. But it doesn't matter. Because as we walk in together, there is no first, there is no last. And as I invite each being into the kingdom, I walk closer to the doorway and I invite more beings. But as long as I've got those couple of ones, I don't get to walk in. I do not get to walk all the way in to my risen, awakened mind. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is a simultaneous event. And it's not that someone else is going to forgive me or, you know, God up in the sky somewhere is going to forgive me as I do this. It's an automatic action. It is an automatic transaction, as it were. As I'm doing it, it flows right into my account. As I'm experiencing forgiveness, I am experiencing total forgiveness. It's not that they get forgiven and then I get forgiven. Forgiveness is automatic and affects everyone. And I don't do it, I experience it. The doing part is my prayer. My prayer to become willing to have the experience where I don't need the past to be different. I don't need one person to have done anything differently than what they did. Last time I spoke here, I talked about pain in my jaw. And I got a clear message one day from Spirit that it was unforgiveness that had settled here. It also turned out to be a cracked tooth, I found out 2 weeks ago. And had it removed, number 31. And But I was clear in the unforgiveness, and so I started doing my work. And that neighbor, what I did was I put his body here, and my perceived behavior of him here. And I started to let the body off the hook, and I could start to work on the behavior. And that other person that I thought that I've been holding out on, I, the next week, had a great realization that every seemingly awful thing I think they have done has actually made my life better. I'm telling you, I have so much good in my life because of the so-called awful stuff I think they did. I can't go into it here, but it wouldn't be appropriate. But nevertheless, because I was willing to look, some of my resentment eased. Some of my thinking eased. And so this divine process that God keeps its word, if I ask, I will be told. If I keep my agreements, I get to live in the peace of agreement. And if I am willing that you have all your good, no matter what time you came to work. You know, there are people in these churches who have been working their whole life to set themselves free from resentments, from unforgiveness, from financial issues, from health. And then you get somebody who walks in off the street and they get an instantaneous healing. They throw their mental crutches away. They throw their physical crutches away. It's like they didn't have to do a thing but walk in the door. How dare they? How dare the way be made easy for them when I've had to work so hard? And here's what I say. Give thanks that it's possible. They just proved to you that healing is possible. Go ahead and have your healing now. Pick up your pallet and walk. I'm sure Jesus said it in exactly that tone of voice. Pick up your pallet and walk. I saw my show, I said a few more words. I'll say those words. Pick up your pallet and walk. Pick up their mentality and walk. Pick it up. As Sydney said, there's something wonderful. There's just always something. I have proven it over and over and over again, and it seems that I'm going to have to keep proving it over and over again to realize there is no bad, there's just preferences. May we all trust today that we are first spiritual. May we all trust today that God keeps its word. Its word is, you are good. You are love. You are the very thing that I am. If there's anything that I am, you too are it. You are also it. In case you're confused, which two? You are also it. If there's any good that you can perceive, you are also that good. So let's work today on the perception of that good, of life, of love, of wisdom, of health, of wealth, of harmony, and divine possibility.